If you are looking for even more help and guidance on your breakup, I have a few different options for you to take your healing to the next level. I have 4 different online courses depending on what stage of the breakup that you're in, from beginning all the way into moving on after heartbreak. Or you can bundle all of my courses together and use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. I also have my 30-day no contact challenge to help hold you accountable in going no contact with your ex. And we have our free Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with other people going through breakups all over the world. To learn more about any of these resources, head to the show notes where you can learn more about my courses, take the quiz to figure out which course is best for you, or join the Facebook group. And don't forget to use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. Welcome to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast with your host, Breakup Bestie, aka me, Kendra. Breakups are hard, but you don't have to do it alone. Each week, I will be taking you through a different topic as it relates to breaking up, healing from heartbreak, growing in your single life, dating, and getting back into happier and healthier relationships. The goal of this show is to provide support, hope, tips, and to remind you that above all, this too shall pass. Welcome back to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. Today I have a very special episode. I'm hoping it's the first of many of this kind. I'm calling it a listener update episode. I've had the honor over the last 4.5 years now to interview so many amazing listeners, and there have been some that I've kept in touch with, and we follow each other on Instagram, and I've got to see them not only make it through their breakups, but I get to see them be in these really beautiful relationships. And I decided to reach out to Sarah, who I really connected with when I interviewed her 3 years ago. We actually ended up meeting in real life, and she's just incredible. So when I was thinking about doing this idea, I really wanted Sarah to be the first one. She's such an incredible human. She's not only a pediatric ICU doctor, she also is in a stand-up comedy group. She does improv, just so rad. So Sarah was, if you want to go back and listen, it's episode 78. It was actually exactly 3 years ago, September. And we do a little bit of a cliff notes of where we left off from her last breakup that brought her to the podcast. And then she talks about her journey since, what it looked like wrapping up that healing journey, how she approached dating so differently from how she did in the past, the biggest lessons she took from the breakup and took into dating, how meeting her partner was different this time, and what that looked like and how that felt. So it was such a great episode. I felt like I was smiling the entire time. You can really just feel her, not only her clarity, but her just happiness and peace and security within her relationship, which is what I wish for everyone. So yeah. Please welcome back Sarah to the show. Well, this is a welcome back. Welcome back to Sarah for the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. This is the maiden voyage of this new type of interview. So very excited to do this with you.
Thank you so much for having me back.
Yeah. When I started thinking, because I started getting a lot of feedback on, I have those episodes on messages from the other side where I just read messages that people write who are kind of over the hump of the breakup. And, you know, people go back and listen to old episodes, and I get messages on, oh, I love this episode with this person. And they're, you know, you're one of the people where I did, you know, stay connected with, and I've kept tabs on what's going on in your life. And so I started thinking it would be so cool to have, you know, and like an update show on someone. So you were like the first person that popped into my mind. So yeah. And we were just talking, it's been 3 years since you've been on the show, which is crazy because I forget how long the podcast has been around. And I don't know, it feels like I just interviewed you, but also it's, you know, so long ago. So yeah.
It's crazy because I was also listening to the episode just this weekend, and the date also crossed my mind of, wow, it's 3 years later, and it feels so familiar and yet so far away as well, which is, you know, that's the beauty of life and time and just kind of going through a process and seeing the growth in hindsight that you can't really see when you're in it.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I think when I first started listener episodes, I think I was kind of learning as I went, but I ended up, now there's more of a parameter where I like to have people 6 months out, just because it's so hard to share any lessons when you're really in the thick of it, because you just can't see it at the time. I was debating on whether I tell people to stop and go back and listen to your original episode, but I also think people don't necessarily have to, because I think this episode will be a great like long-term success story of a breakup, but let's give like a little bit of backstory of what brought you onto the podcast the first time.
Sure. So, you know, height of the pandemic, about in 2020, I kind of connected with someone within my comedy theater community, and we had not a very long relationship. It was about 9 months. And the breakup was fairly mutual. We both realized that we were not on the same page in terms of what we wanted. He was not ready to kind of deepen the relationship. I was. And this is, you know, also the theme in so many of my, you know, my dating history, right? Of just being with people who didn't want the same thing as me. And that was a big part of my healing journey, was really, you know, honing in on why is that? Why do I keep finding myself in the same situation? And so we had a very sad breakup in the sense that it wasn't that anyone lost feelings for each other. We still really liked each other. We really enjoyed spending time with each other. We cared about each other, but we just wanted different things. And the way that I remember phrasing it was that I was so grateful for the relationship, but I'm even more grateful for the breakup because of how much I learned about myself, about my patterns, about what I really wanted, and how I could really break patterns was the theme of my breakup and the glow up that ensued from that. And so I'm grateful for all of it. And, you know, I couldn't see it at the time, but he and I, you know, maybe a year and a half or 2 years later, finally were able to actually be at a point where we genuinely could call each other friends, and we're both dating different people. And I forget sometimes that we even dated. Like, it just feels so far away from me that, and I couldn't be happier for him now with the person that he's with. And, you know, we still interact with each other. And so it's a really beautiful process, but I totally understand that it's hard to appreciate when you're in the thick of it. And even like you said, 6 months out, I didn't have this perspective that you just got to give it some time and it will come. But I also really agree and appreciate with everything, all of the content that you put out of, you know, you got to put the work into it as well. And it isn't for any other reason than to benefit you. And it's 100% worth it.
I love that. I love that. And that was actually one of the questions I had, because I think we did talk about that in the first part, is how you did have to see your ex because the comedy theater is such a big part of your life. So can we just touch on that a little bit? So how, you said a year and a half, 2 years later, you guys were able to, what did it look like until then? Did it feel awkward? Were you just kind of trying to avoid each other?
Yeah, it was stilted. There was a couple of times that we ran into each other and we would have conversations and it felt a little bit bittersweet. It usually had to do something with, you know, this reminded me of you, right? Which is always like the hardest thing, because of course that's the reason why you would even be talking to someone, of like, oh, I thought of you. And, you know, it just kind of tugs at your heartstring a little bit. So at the beginning, it was awkward. The conversations were stilted. And then over time, it just stopped. I guess the more interactions that we had that felt that way, the less awkward each one felt. It didn't feel as jarring, and it just started to feel a little bit more ordinary. He also started to, for his own personal reasons, decided to, you know, take a break from improv. This was well after I was already, you know, dating someone else. So that was fine. You know, I didn't think anything of it. If anything, I checked in with him and said, like, hey, are you doing okay? This has been something that you've been a part of for so long. And he didn't necessarily want to get into the details of it, but just kind of appreciated that I reached out. And it felt very just friendly. But, you know, you had to get through the kind of awkward, stilted moments. And then enough of them happened that it just finally everyone just kind of realizes we've moved on. Like, and there's no hard feelings, and we wish the best for each other. And then it just felt like ordinary.
Yeah. And I think part of that too, and at least my, because people will ask, is there, you know me, I'm not the fan of being friends with exes, but when people say, is it ever possible? Yeah, it of course it's possible. I think in order for it to work well for both people, it usually has to be organic, where you're not intending, okay, in a year I will be friends with them, or trying to force a friendship when it doesn't work out. But yeah, if you're interacting with them on a somewhat regular basis, it's going to get less and less awkward. And then you're, you know, in the background, you're doing all your own stuff and they're doing all their own stuff. And at some point, it won't feel weird to see them, which is a blessing.
Absolutely. And it's not like we were intentionally trying to work towards a friendship. We would have conversations that were just enjoyable and we didn't think anything of it. But, you know, I'm a firm believer that no contact was the way to go and is the way to go. It's just too hard not to. And you really need that time to heal. You just need that time for yourself. And forcing something just makes it harder. It prolongs the suffering. It prolongs your healing. So, and we think that it's going to make it somehow better. It doesn't, because it's never going to match up to the expectation of what your heart wants, right? Your heart is hurting.
Yeah.
It wants what it wants, and that's just not what it's going to be. So the best thing you can do is just remove the offending agent, right? Like, remove the thing that is causing the pain. Just focus on yourself. And if it's meant to be for you, for this person to be in your life in some way as a friend, it will happen naturally. And it will in fact happen in such a way that you can genuinely be happy for each other and not even be like miffed or ruffled. I don't think twice about his relationship. If anything, I'm super happy for him because she exactly suits him. And I think that's great. At the end of the day, all you want is for, you know, we wanted each other's happiness and it took us some time and we got there, but yeah. It wouldn't have happened if we had forced the interaction when it wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, it would have just gotten more and more. I think another hazard of not going no contact is it just gets messier and messier because you kind of just keep trying to have the same conversation over and over again, but there's nothing has changed. So it just gets more and more muddled in that way.
Right.
So going back to what you were saying about getting to work on breaking those patterns, at what point did you feel like you were able to, because that's usually not something we're diving into right away after a breakup. Mm-hmm. We're, you know, kind of doing triage on ourselves first. At what point did you feel like you really were able to start seeing clearly and start seeing, okay, there's some patterns here that I want to work through?
Yeah. I would say the earliest was probably 6 months. Mm-hmm. And again, this is in the context of my relationship was only 9 months, right? So if it was a longer relationship, it would have been a little bit more, you know, a little bit more delayed. But I would say sometime around 6 to 8 months, probably around the time that we did the initial episode, mm-hmm. is when the fog really lifted and I was able to look at things really objectively, specifically about myself as well, in terms of, you know, I was the common denominator in all of these different relationships of being with people who are noncommittal. And that's where I really focused on, okay, there's something here that I want to focus on. And I would say from 6 to 12 months, about the 1 year mark. After a year, I was, you know, definitely able to get back into the dating scene. And I had tried a little bit earlier. And it's like you said, like a lot of your healing also does happen once you start dating. And yeah. It really was that. I realized that my pattern was that I did not want to ask the hard question of what are you looking for and be able to walk away from it if it wasn't aligned with what I wanted. Because I wanted to hold on to that fantasy of, well, maybe, or maybe we just need more time. Or if he could just see that this is such a great relationship, then maybe this, you know, person would want to be with me. And so I wasn't able to really objectively look at that until at least 6 months later and look at it in a way that wasn't self-deprecating. I wasn't beating myself up. It was just kind of like, okay, like, let's just look at the facts. And at that point is when I started to reactivate the online, you know, dating apps. And I made myself, even if I wasn't really interested in someone, I just practiced asking anyone that I was texting with, what are you looking for? And it was low stakes because I didn't even know if I was interested in this person yet. There was no emotional, you know, tie. And so I said, just practice asking that question because clearly that is where I have my hang up. So I just would start asking people, and as simple as like, what do you like to do on the weekends? It was, what are you looking for in a relationship? Or what are you looking for in these apps? And really just got comfortable with that. So that when I then started to talk to people that I was kind of interested in, it felt less daunting to ask that question. And that was a really, really kind of turning point for me because it was the thing that I was afraid of. And so when I finally did meet my partner, it wasn't a big deal when I asked him. It was like the same as, you know, I don't know, do you like pizza or pasta? I don't know. It became such an ordinary question to ask. And it didn't feel like the big elephant in the room that I was ignoring. And I don't think I could have gotten to that point if I didn't give myself the healing and a little bit of distance to really critically and, but like with compassion, ask myself, like, what's going on? Why do we keep finding ourselves in the same situation?
Yeah. I love that idea of practicing. That's the, like, and that's what dating can, I believe, can be used for. It can be this practicing thing. And I love that you start doing it with more low stakes people. And then maybe when it does feel a little bit higher stakes, you're not as anxious about it because there is something, and I don't think it affects the person's answer necessarily, but there is something when you ask, like people can feel when you ask a question that has so much attached to it, you know, of whereas if you ask something of, you know, what's the weather like kind of a thing, it does make it so much more so much more breezy. And I feel like it lowers other people's threat level too, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I do want to go back to what you were saying about the 6 to 8 months and looking at yourself compassionately, because I do think that is a sweet spot in the healing, because I think the goal is you want to get to a place where you can look at yourself in a compassionate way and detach it from the last relationship. Because I think what people do sometimes is they'll see, quote unquote, what went wrong. And then they'll use that as a way to dive back into the ins and outs of their last relationship. Oh, if I had done this, then it would work out. So either they contact their ex again and say, I learned all this, you know, now we can do this. So I think it is really important to get distance where you can just apply it to yourself and apply it moving forward instead of doing the could have, should haves of the past. I think it's common that the 6 to 8 month time, that's why I don't like people diving into that stuff too early, just because you're already feeling self-critical in the beginning. You don't want to add anything else onto that.
Right. And you're already going through the what ifs and, you know, replaying the conversations over again of what could I have done differently. And you just don't have that. Maybe the word we're looking for is objectivity, you know, the way looking at it as if you're listening to your best friend tell you the same story, right? Like they're like looking at it and treating yourself as you would your own best friend. And what would you say in that perspective, right? You wouldn't say anything to hurt them. You wouldn't say anything to make them feel worse, but you might offer them, you know, that little bit of best friend wisdom of, well, have you considered that, you know, you keep meeting these people in this circumstance, or you keep repeating this pattern? How would you say it to your best friend? And then how would it feel like to be able to say it to yourself in that same way? And you do need that little buffer of time and space, but also you do need a little bit of that kindness towards yourself, because you are still in a healing phase and it doesn't do you any favors to rehash the whole thing. And it's not going to change anything either, but it definitely will make you feel more pain if you do talk to yourself the way that we tend to talk to ourselves, as opposed to the way that we talk to our friends.
Yeah, no, that's a very good way to disconnect and just see it from the outside perspective. When you were going through this whole healing process, were you able to identify why that was such a scary question for you to ask? I mean, at least speaking from my experience, for me, it was definitely a worthiness issue of I didn't feel worthy of having someone fully commit to me. So it felt like I had to prove myself and make someone want to be with me instead of someone just innately wanting to be with me. Was there anything underlying there?
Yeah, there definitely was an element of worthiness. But the interesting thing for me actually came from really a deep dive into even my childhood of I, you know, grew up with, you know, in an immigrant household, and my parents were fairly strict. And my mom was a little bit easier going than my dad was. And so I grew up with this mentality of being very afraid of asking for things like, can I go to this dance? Can I go to so-and-so's house for a sleepover or whatever it was? And the answer from my dad would usually be no. for, you know, whatever reasons it was that he had, but I always had this fear. And so if I just didn't ask, then he wouldn't say no. And then I wouldn't feel so rejected, which I think I carried a lot of that fear into my relationships. And so I would know in my heart of hearts that this person did not want the same thing as me. But if I didn't ask, maybe I could convince them, or maybe they would change their mind, or maybe I could be super easy breezy and be fine with something casual. I think I held on to that fear. And it wasn't until I remember having that moment. I think I was listening to one of your episodes while I was like working overnight in a shift, and it was a little bit quiet, and I was in my, you know, my sleep room, and I couldn't sleep because it was like 3 a.m. And I literally sat up when I thought about what you had said, that the worthiness kind of was the undercurrent. And I asked myself, what was my undercurrent? Why don't I want to hear no? And I thought back to when I heard no earlier in my life. And I just, it all became, it was like an epiphany for me. And that was it. And that's when I realized, okay, then no is not the enemy of this. The enemy of this is all the pain that comes from me not asking, because no is just an answer, and it's just an impasse, right? And if I ask it early enough, when I'm not super emotionally involved, it doesn't have to be a big deal. So that's where when I was then ready to date, because I think I had that epiphany, maybe 4 months in, but had no interest in dating. So when I was, I remember saying, okay, then let's just practice asking this question in the most low stakes way, so that it became less scary for me. And that was that crucial moment for me, quite honestly.
Interesting. Wow. I feel like that stuff always does happen where you're not necessarily expecting it, but you can really ask yourself in a very clear way, what is this for me? Mm-hmm. And it's almost just knowing it makes it less scary, right? Yep. Almost knowing where it's coming from makes it less scary. And when you did start practicing, what were some of the responses that you got? And if someone said, I'm just looking for, you know, a fling, what did it feel like?
Honestly, it was like, well, glad we got that out of the way.
Okay.
but I looked at profiles differently. That's the interesting thing, is subconsciously what I was looking at changed, and how I was speaking to people also changed. Mm-hmm. So I became really, you know, also the online dating, it's hard and exhausting, and you burn out from it. And so I remember setting up, like, I was really strict about it. I was like, I don't want to do this, but I know that it's good for me, and it's hard to meet people otherwise. So I set a 1 hour limit every single night, that I set a like reminder on my phone of like, go onto the apps. And I chose one app. And so I would go on for an hour, I would scroll, I would like or whatever, swipe, and then I would text with people. And if by the end of that hour, the conversation had not turned into something I wanted to continue, I just kind of was like, cool, good to know you. Time for me to make an excuse to exit the conversation. And I ended it there. So in that hour that I would talk to people, I would just ask that. So what I was looking for was very different. You know, the mirror selfies, you know, shirtless pics, like all of that stuff. I was like, okay, it's very clear what this person's going for. I could kind of read through things. My lens changed. And then I just started asking it, you know, after the pleasantries, and would just say like, hey, so what brings you to the app? And then what are you looking for? Or like, you know, you could tell there were certain responses if it was evasive of like, I don't know, just kind of see how things go. And I'm like, oh, I've been on that ride. I'm okay, cool. Good for you. Not really what I'm looking for, but best of luck. It was really nice chatting with you. You know, hope you find what you're looking for. And that was just kind of it. Again, I did it early enough in like the first one or two conversations that it just felt like a very in passing thing. And the harder thing is if I did go out with someone, and maybe they did say that they were looking for something, and maybe the answer changed, or I just realized we weren't as compatible as I thought, mm-hmm. was, you know, my breakup text game really went up to the point that my friends would ask me, I went out on a date with someone, like, how do I break this off? And I'd like craft the whole response. I became really good at it. Where I just decided honesty, you know, and just say like, hey, it sounds like you and I, you know, we had a lot of things in common, but I think what we're looking for might be different. Or sometimes if we were looking for the same thing, but I just wasn't feeling the connection. I remember with one really nice guy, I kept hoping for that to happen, and I just wasn't feeling it, but I really enjoyed getting to know him. And so I just thought, you know, I'm just gonna be honest because he's a good guy and he deserves it. But I'm just not feeling it. So I just decided that I was going to treat people the way that I wanted to be treated and just was very honest and authentic and, you know, just shared that. And I don't think I ever had a negative reaction. Most people are like, great, thank you. That one guy was very kind and we still hung out a little bit. And he said, well, you know, I hope we can be friends. And I said, sure. And, you know, that fizzled on its own, but he was very kind and gracious and honestly thanked me for being honest and being so upfront, even when it would have been hard. So I think it wasn't as bad. Honestly, it really wasn't a big deal. It was the thing is all this time I was like, man, it is like starting out on the same playing field, right? We are playing the same sport, right? Rather than one person showing up with a bat and another person showing up with, I don't know, volleyball shorts. I don't know. Yeah. I'm bad with sports analogies. Anyways, that even like a tennis racket. But I just realized, okay, when by asking the question of what are you looking for, we're showing up to the same game, right? Yeah. And we'll just see, is this going to work out or not? And then I thought, oh, why didn't I do this so much sooner? This was so not a big deal. Yeah. So it was easy.
You know, after going through a breakup, your photos need to be replaced and memory lane can feel like a scary place to walk down. But don't forget that you still have so many people in your life who love you and so many memories that don't involve your ex. And Artifact Uprising is here to help you preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. I have been an Artifact Uprising customer for years now, and I love that they have such high quality prints and beautiful books that are great for putting up in my home or giving as gifts. Just recently, I made a photo book with photos of my three boys from this year. But what I also made, which I highly recommend all of you do, is I made a book with photos of just my best girlfriends, which I now have on my coffee table. It's such a great way for me to see all of my favorite memories with the women in my life who are my rocks. So whether you want to put up some new photos with friends and family around your house, or you want to put together a book as a thank you for the people who are holding you up during this tough time, Artifact Uprising is the place to do it. Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story. Through the end of the year, Heal Your Heartbreak listeners can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you have purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code HEARTBREAK through December 31st. Hormones are the last thing you want to be dealing with as you're going through a breakup, but they can also be hard to ignore, especially during the time of the month. This is why I love recommending Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth, which has truly become a phenomenon trusted by over 2.2 million customers, and a bottle is sold every 24 seconds. I started taking Hormone Harmony to help balance my hormones after going through 2 pregnancies in 2.5 years, and I've continued to take it because it's made such a difference in my PMS with bloating, irritation, anxiety, and all the other not so fun symptoms that tend to pop up. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code HEARTBREAK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code HEARTBREAK for 15% off today. Did you know that 9 out of 10 women lack dominance of L. crispatus, which is why many endure ongoing vaginal discomfort? That's why one of my absolute favorite supplement companies, Seed, created VS01 Vaginal Symbiotic to restore a healthy vaginal microbiome and sustain regulated pH levels. After using VS01 for just a couple months, I've noticed a difference. Other products out there often target only symptoms in ways that further disturb the microbiome, which is so important, just like your gut microbiome. VS01 marks a new era in vaginal care with a sustainable approach to address the root cause of imbalances. This is an ongoing system that maximizes efficacy with minimal impact on your day-to-day life. Shift from harsh reactive treatments to proactive sustainable care with VS01 from Seed. Go to seed.com/heartbreak and use code 25heartbreak to get 25% off. That's 25% off VS01 at seed.com/heartbreak, code 25heartbreak.
It's like we really make things out to be the boogeyman in a lot of those scenarios. And I think too, the being honest when things aren't working, it's just another form of practice. Mm-hmm. I keep thinking about, there's this account that I follow on TikTok. This person did a challenge. They were going to get rejected 100 days in a row. So they would just like go to Dunkin' Donuts and say, can I have a free coffee? And they're like, no. And so that was like one day. And I always think that would be so, I don't know if I have the guts to do that, but that would be so powerful to just not be afraid of being rejected. That's something I've dealt with so often in my life, and or just not being afraid of having those hard conversations. And that's the thing. Most people are gracious about it, and they are happy to not be ghosted. You know, I hear complaints all the time of how often people are getting ghosted. Well, really, I think the remedy to that is having these more difficult conversations of, hey, this just isn't working for me, but you know, I wish you the best of luck. So let's move into, how long were you on the apps before you met your partner?
So I went on and off of them. So I first tried that summer. It's about 6 months later. I met this one really nice guy, but I just wasn't feeling anything. And I think one of the things that I should also mention that I learned a lot as I was learning more about myself and, you know, like you said, what the type of content that you're consuming also changes over time. So it was a lot of not just self-help, but like psychology-based stuff, relationship-based theory stuff. And one other thing was that I distinguished between chemistry and compatibility. Mm-hmm. So you can have chemistry with a lot of people, right? Chemistry is really just surge of hormones, right? It's just sexual attraction. And it could be like other things, but it's really just that, right? But the compatibility is what I realized was very different. And so as I was starting to get to know people, I started to ask more questions, and I don't think I was super conscious of it at first, about really what were the things that they valued and did it align with what was important to me. So obviously, you know, the type of relationship was one of the first ones, but then it was also, you know, just deeper things, because what I was looking for was a life partner. And so I want to make sure if this is the right person, that like their values for, you know, the longevity of our relationship need to be deeper than just the type of music you listen to and the things you could do for fun, because all of that, you know, number one, changes, and number two, is immaterial after, you know, 6 months to a year. So I started asking and just having different conversations on our dates to really get to know people. So the one guy over the summer, super nice guy, but again, wasn't really feeling much. So there wasn't even like the chemistry there. There was some compatibility, but also there just something was missing. So had an honest conversation with him. We stayed in touch a little bit and then just kind of faded, went out on a couple dates. And honestly, I just wanted to enjoy being single. And that was one of the things I remember. Yeah, that was one of the things I remember you saying in some of your episodes about just enjoying your time being single. So I think by like this time, it was like September or so, I just decided I was having a good time, right? Like lockdown was over. I was performing. I was hanging out with my friends more. I, you know, started to take care of my body. I think I like started, you know, exercising more and eating really healthy. I just changed my focus. I just realized like, I don't want to, like, I just want to focus on me. And I had a great time. I traveled, I spent more time with my friends. And that was really my focus. I was having a blast. I had a really good time and just had fun performing and just reintroducing myself to what we had missed in the last year. So when I finally, it was like the new year, right? New year, new me. And I was like, all right, I should probably try these apps again. And then that's when I decided, okay, I'll choose one. I will do it for an hour a night. I kind of set my like rules, and then, you know, and even then, up until I met him, he was the only person that I was kind of intrigued about. And it was just that we had very different daily schedules. So he would respond later in the night when he was done with work and, you know, had a little bit more space, but I was fast asleep by that point, right? So he was the one person that I was intrigued by, and we chatted on the phone. And then I was working one night and we were texting. And that's the night that I asked him all of the hard questions, because I realized like, oh, I like this person. Like, I'm actually excited about this person. And I told him, before I get any more excited about this, can I just ask you, so that we're on the same page, what are you looking for? And I just went through my kind of, I had to refine to like a couple questions, but that was the main one. And once that it was, that foundation was established, then I was like, okay, now I can be excited about having a crush on this guy. But I went back and forth of, did I want to be on the apps? Did I not? I just wanted to enjoy being single. And I'm so glad that I did, because I really look back on the time that I was single, even before I even dated the last guy. And I really enjoyed it. I really just, I look back on that time and it was just so special. And I didn't see it at the time, because all I could think is, oh, I just wish I could be in a relationship. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm in, you know, a very loving and healthy relationship, I look back on that time. I was like, oh, I'm so glad I did that. I'm so glad I treated myself to nice dinners. I'm so glad I did all of the little things you know, the treat yourself, the little, you know, acts of kindness that I did for myself that I was like, oh, I wish someone would do this for me. I was like, well, screw it, just do it for yourself. I did all of those things and I'm so glad that I did. So I just enjoyed myself in that time in between dating.
I think it's so important to do that. And I think a lot of people have that experience where they look back and they're like, oh, that was actually really fun. And mm-hmm. I do remember when I had a mentor tell me, someday you're going to be married with kids and you're going to look back and kind of wish you could go back to that time at certain times. And she's 100% right. But I think what it does is having a baseline of, oh, I can enjoy being single. When you do go into dating or you do start being in a relationship, it does make those questions a little less scary because what's the worst that could happen? I go back to having fun, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, it's sad to ever lose a relationship, but I do think it makes the alternative. If you believe that life is not fun and sad and scary, if you're not in a relationship, you're going to be really doing everything you can to not lose a relationship, including not asking the hard questions, not fully being yourself, you know, kind of just blending into whatever they want instead yep. of, no, this is me. And if that doesn't work, then I'll go back to enjoying myself, you know? So
absolutely. Yeah. It's just the confidence that you have of, first of all, learning to enjoy your own company, which mm-hmm. I think just you emanate a different energy, right? As opposed yeah. to the, not desperation, but just of just please like me, or I just want to be a part of this, right? Versus meeting someone and saying like, hey, this is who I am. I'm happy. I'm very fulfilled. It would be great. You know, not an absolute necessity, like I will be fine. And it made it easier for me to also know that I would be okay, that if I did get the answer that I didn't want, or if things changed, that it was like, yeah, you'll be okay. You're like, you're pretty great company in and of yourself. And, you know, you found this one great person. That means that there's lots of other great people that are out there too. And you just weren't looking in the right places or didn't know what to ask. And it is, it's a different level of confidence. And also just self-love that I don't think we in modern society, I think, appreciate enough. And mm-hmm. that thinking that this person is not going to complete me. I am whole and I am complete as I am. This person is going to augment my life, right? They're bringing their own, you know, thing into my life, and not because I have a lack. I am yeah. perfectly fine just the way I am. And of course, we're all works in progress. We're all growing. And you just hope that, you know, you find someone that can grow with you in that way and that can recognize what you've been through and appreciate your journey. And likewise, you can do the same for them.
Yeah. I would love to hear. So once you guys did start going on dates and a relationship started blooming, in what ways did it feel different than in the past?
Oh, I love this question. It actually felt not as exciting in many ways.
Interesting. I love that. Okay. Yeah. Talk about that more.
Yeah. And that was interesting because it wasn't that I wasn't excited about him. I was. Our first date was amazing. I definitely had, you know, all the feels and the giddiness. I think with him, I very early on, I just felt very safe and comfortable with him, that I could share a lot of things in a very genuine way. And there wasn't the butterflies. There wasn't the nervous, anxious energy that I was used to, which is what I thought was that this person likes me, is that I was feeling nervous all the time. And will they, won't they, do they, don't they? I didn't feel any of that with him. It was just very, if anything, I was so used to these avoidant guys that I did not realize how much it influenced my behavior. So I wasn't texting him as often. I wasn't calling him. And he called me out and he said, you know, what I need in a relationship is like, I want to talk to you every single day. If I can't talk to you, I want to be texting you. I want to know like, how's your day going? You know, not obsessively, but it's important for me that we stay in communication. And I remember thinking like, what are you talking about? Because that was like the kiss of death before, right? Of just like, you know, I don't know. It wasn't like anyone was mean about it, but it definitely felt like I was not invited into that space. And if I had asked too much by calling or texting too much, it was like, back off, right? And here was this person saying, no, like I want us to talk every day. How else am I supposed to get to know you? How else am I going to know if this is what I want it to be if we aren't in communication? And then that made me realize, and I told him, I was like, you know, I think I have become so used to dating avoidant people that I just assumed that that would be too much, that me showing up as I normally would want to, which is not an unreasonable thing to want to talk to someone, you know, and text them and see them, you know, even a couple times a week, you know, I was never asking for too much. I was just asking it of the wrong people. And he said, well, let me just make sure that it's very clear. I like you. I want to talk to you. I want to see you. And I want us to be in touch because that is the only way that I can get to know you. And I think I just put my phone down and I just was silent for 5 minutes just thinking, this is different. And wow. I felt very comfortable. I think that's the thing, is that nervous energy was my nervous system acting up to the avoidant energy that I was used to. And he just gave me a very calm, like I never questioned whether or not he liked me. He wouldn't stop telling me. He would just, you know, constantly just, not constantly, but it was just, that was a given. Yeah. You know, there wasn't a will he, a does he, doesn't he. It's obvious. He's like, why would I be wanting to hang out with you if I didn't like you? So that was immediately, and it, I guess some people might call it that they feel sometimes bored in the relationship. Yeah. And the interesting thing is that he also was also breaking that pattern in his, and that he also said that we both were like, why is there no drama between us? You know, we had disagreements, but there was no drama. And we realized, oh, we were used to the drama because we were in incompatible relationships previously. And there was a baseline compatibility between us, and therefore there wasn't drama. It was just mutual understanding and respect. And that felt very calm. Yeah. And that blew me away.
That's so cool. I'm just like, it must have felt like such an out-of-body experience to have someone say that to you. And it's also such a sign of just like a very healthy relationship. The fact that he could bring up something that was bothering him in a very calm way. You could see it, say, oh, wow, this is where this is coming from. And then he can say, oh, I've also had that in the past coming from this. I mean, you know, in so many people experience, me included, where you're nervous to tell them where something is coming from because you don't want to be like, oh, I don't want to unload this on you. Or how much do I share? Do I share this? Do I share that? But to just say, okay, I'm just going to speak what's going on. That's hugely powerful. And when it came time to define the relationship or all these things that can feel so scary for people like us who are used to dating avoidant people, what did that look like?
He was actually the one to say it. I don't even remember how the conversation came up, but I remember he let it slip that he called me his girlfriend. And I jokingly kind of said, oh, I didn't know that I was your girlfriend. We haven't really had that talk. And he got really embarrassed and bashful. And he said, well, of course, like, you know, do you want to, you know, I don't remember it. We made it kind of cheesy because he knows that I'm obsessed with like romantic comedies. And he's like, oh my God, like you've been completely like brainwashed by like what Hollywood thinks relationships should be. And so I think I even made him say, I was like, will you ask me to be your girlfriend? He said, are you kidding? But we just made it a joke just to like kind of like ease the tension about it. He was feeling a little bit embarrassed, but of course we both knew that that's what it was. He was the one early on, maybe 2 or 3 weeks in, saying that, hey, I just want you to know, I have no expectations from you, but I really want to focus on getting to know you. So I'm actually not, you know, I'm not talking to anyone else. I'm not interested in, you know, dating other people. I really want to focus my time and energy on this. And here I was thinking like, I barely have time to date one person, let alone multiple people at the same time. I was like, oh yeah, me too. Knowing that I already was doing that, but it was just so refreshing to hear him initiate that. So he initiated a lot of the stuff that was scary for me, aside from me kind of initially asking the questions. But also I'll add that, you know, he was breaking his own patterns, right? So he had also been in not necessarily like non-committal relationships, but had been in relationships where he felt like he lost himself in them and his voice wasn't heard. And so we came to a place of mutual understanding of that, you know, as you had always said, you know, so much of your healing comes through your next relationship or comes through dating. And that has 100% been true between us. And even to the point of us sometimes sharing that with each other of, you know, maybe we got into a fight and, you know, where's this coming from and what's coming up for me, and us just sharing, hey, just so you know, what's coming up for me has nothing to do with you. It has to do with a pattern in my previous relationship or relationships. And so I just want you to know, like, that is why I had this reaction, and it's not on you to fix it. I just want you to know that's where it came from, and that we were able to kind of respectfully give each other that boundary and that space to let that person figure it out and find out, okay, is this something I can help you with? Or is this something you need to do on your own? And not judge the other person of like, it wasn't like, oh, you're so hung up on your ex. It's just, you know, just wounds that come up that you'd yeah. least expect. So
I did
when
too.
It came up as a joke, honestly, about how the defining the relationship kind of came
oh,
up
yeah.
in a silly way, but it was already very clear to me very early on that he was very much into me and wanted to make this, you know, exclusive. I think we had the exclusive talk fairly early on, and yeah, and it wasn't scary or anything. If anything, that was like a fun, giddy moment that I remember reading about in my journal later, because he has a terrible memory and I have a really weird memory with dates. And so okay. like, he'll be like, I don't know when that happened. I was like, I do. It was March 12th. And so we just joke about that, but yeah, it just came up organically, or even the first time we, you know, expressed love for each other. And he danced around that topic, and because he felt like, oh, is it too soon? And so he didn't say it in those words. He initially said, I have a lot of love for you,
yes.
which then I was like, why are you being so weird? But I still wouldn't say it. I still wouldn't say it until maybe 2 weeks later.
Okay.
That I was grappling with it for myself. So there was a lot of us figuring out our own things while we were getting to know each other, and yeah. a lot of respect to be able to give each other space to do that.
Yeah. And, you know, that there's so many building blocks to that healthy relationship, the work you did on your own, the work he did on his own. But you're right. I mean, you really do have to put some lessons to the fire mm-hmm. by being in a relationship and having those, you know, I wish I could tell everyone what to do during their time of a breakup to ensure that they're never going to have a heartbreak ever again, but that's just not the case. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is just changing the way you approach relationships in a lot of ways of, you know, what are you looking for? And I remember for me having that conversation on the first date of, you know, what does your relationship future look like? Not with me, but I don't want to date someone who never wants to get married or mm-hmm. doesn't want kids in the same way that I do. And it's just like what you said, it's an impasse. It's just information. You're just gathering information. They're not saying, I don't want to marry you. They're not saying, and you're not saying, do you want to get married to me?
Right.
You're just gathering information and trying to depersonalize it, I guess, as much as possible.
Yeah.
But I do think when you approach things in, you know, not grasping it so tightly, things do just happen organically, where the defining the relationship talk happens organically, or, you know, bringing up, people always ask, when do I bring up what happened with my ex? And it's like, probably when it just comes out, not necessarily yeah. when you have this big plan of things to say. So I do think a lot of that stuff happens organically when you have that approach of, I'm okay on my own. A relationship isn't going to complete me. This is just going to add value to my life. And I have a question, and I think I know what the answer is to it, but I want to bring the point home of, do you feel like you would be in a position in this relationship had you not gone through that breakup?
Oh, I think I would be doing more of the same. If yeah. I had not gone through that breakup and all of the work that I put into it, I think I would just be still, you know, on that same merry-go-round of similar people. And I know this because as I was going through that, you know, people from my past did kind of come back into my life, and there was that pull, and I was finally able to pull myself back from it and say, no, like, that is just a feeling that you have towards this person, but is this really what you want? Right? Like, this another avoidant person kind of came back into my life briefly, and I was finally able to see it with this objectivity of, no, this is not, I know how the story ends. I have no interest in this. And now that I know what it feels like to be in a secure, and I think the psychological safety of being yes. with a person that makes me feel this way, and that I can likewise do that for him, I look back on all of that and none of it is appealing. I think that's why being friends with him isn't a thing anymore, is mm-hmm. because there's the emotion is completely gone. I look back at these other relationships and they're still all kind of, you know, in my social circles or whatever. And there's nothing there. There's no feeling there because, you know, I talked about in the first episode about my graph of how I graphed out every relationship I was in them. Right. And I thought that, okay, here I am. This was a, you know, that relationship was, you know, by that standard was the healthiest relationship I had been in. Right.
Yeah.
I had no idea, but I knew that there was something better. I knew that my 10 was waiting for me. And I realized that with my current partner of, wow, like the depth of conversation we're able to have, the fact that we can get into conflict and that conflict is not the end. I think that was the thing that I carried with me is as soon as we disagreed about something that I would prepare myself. And he would joke at the beginning when we first would have fights of like, did you break up with me in your head? Like, have we been broken up all day in your head? And I was like, yes, absolutely. I've been sobbing. And he's like, okay, but like, I'm here with you and I love you. And like, we haven't broken up. So can we just talk? And realizing that conflict actually brought us together. And I think that's the difference with someone who truly cares about you and that you have that kind of safety with. The conflict actually is one of the most beautiful ways to get to know yourself and the other person. And the relationship, like just, you know, warp speed, we became closer as opposed to with the wrong people. Right? With maybe people I only had chemistry, but not compatibility with, the conflict is what broke us up, which, you know, is kind of the diagnosis in and of itself of then it wasn't the right relationship. If one little, you know, disagreement was enough to break it up.
Or if it feels like you're tiptoeing around conflict.
Correct. Exactly.
You don't have that safety net.
Right. Or you're feeling you have to walk on eggshells and whatnot. Like all of that, again, it's your nervous system is all activated and you think that this is all the butterflies and, you know, the warm and fuzzies, and it isn't. It's just your body is just on alert of, you know, this could go away or whatever the feeling is. But not having that makes me realize that once you can get to that point, then it's like, oh man, like it just keeps getting better. Right. And who would have ever thought? Who would have ever thought I would be able to get to this place of not being afraid of the hard questions, not being afraid of conflict. I don't love it, but when we do have an impasse and we're working through it, something more beautiful always comes out of it. And I'm grateful for that. And I don't think I would have appreciated that if I had not experienced everything from the relationship and the breakup to really learn that, you know, beautiful things can come from difficult times if you just approach it with some intention.
Yeah. I love that. I feel like I've been smiling this whole time that you've been talking. I'm just so happy about all this.
You.
And it's so funny because I even like, I get that vibe from your Instagram. Like I can just tell you're happy and peaceful and all that stuff. But just hearing you describe it all is very happy, makes me really happy. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing this. And I hope this is like messages of hope from the other side on steroids. So this is like the full deep dive. So thank you so much for coming on. And
thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And to anyone listening, just know there's so much beauty on the other side. Just let yourself feel it and experience it and you'll get there.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you loved it, I hope you'll leave a review and share with your friends. If you're not already following me on Instagram, head to @yourbreakupbestie, where I'm sharing new content almost every day. To join our Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with thousands of people from all over the world going through breakups, head to the link in the show notes. And don't forget to check out my online courses for more in-depth help through your healing journey. I always end these episodes the same way, reminding you to be nice to yourself, stay connected with loved ones, and the biggest reminder is that this too shall pass. I promise.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.